You may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our series in Mark today as we look into the parable that Jesus spoke in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 4. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. If I were to hold it out in my hand, you wouldn't be able to see it. But it's so big. What I mean is it's big in terms of its potential. It doesn't look like much, just a speck, but drop it in the ground and it becomes something great and large. In fact, dropping it is the only way you can see how really big it is. I was looking through my seeds this week, and the closest similarity I could find to a mustard seed would probably have been a sunflower seed. A sunflower starts out really small, but when it's fully grown, it's as tall as I am. Now, a mustard seed would have been even smaller than that, just a small pebble. And yet, when it was fully grown, they say it can reach 6.5 feet or more. In order to see how big it really is, we need to drop it. Let go of it. There's nothing more that we can do than place it in the ground, bury it, and let God take over. Because there, out of sight, where the world can't even see what's going on, God is doing something. In his hands, in the soil of the earth, he is holding on to that seed, cultivating it, and creating life. Something so small becomes so great. And then Jesus said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?" It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. We continue our series in considering the contrasts of the kingdom. And in the parable today, Jesus shows a contrast between something small and something large. He shows us how God can take something so small, so insignificant, something we hardly even take notice of, and turn it into something huge. And that's the kingdom of God. Dropped into our midst, where it seems so insignificant, and yet is able to accomplish great things. We'll look at three examples of how God does this. We'll consider Israel in the Old Testament, how they were brought low, but then from just a twig, God raised up something great. We'll consider the CLC, which in the eyes of the world is probably pretty small, but yet is sheltered by God's grace and mercy. And then we'll consider our own congregation here and how God could do big things with such a little setting. The Lord was descending upon Israel like a great and mighty lumberjack. He had taken an axe in his hand and was coming down to chop them low. And the axe that he held was the Babylonian armies. Israel had forgotten about the Lord. They have no longer were longing for his promises, longing for the Messiah, and they wanted something more real, more now, something bigger and better. They wanted a kingdom of glory, and they had exalted themselves in their own eyes. God would come with an answer. In Isaiah, he prophesies, "The day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Everything lifted up shall be brought low, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, so that the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." It was in the same setting of the captivity to Babylon, 586 BC, that Ezekiel was prophesying also. And we read in our earlier reading from Ezekiel how God would chop down the mighty tree and raise up something from just a twig. On the mountain heights of Israel, he would raise up from a twig something that would shelter and shade the birds of the air. It would become so big. Israel was that tree which was brought low. In fact, all the nations were brought low in the eyes of the Lord. Israel had lost their great city. Their kingdom had been taken away from them, and for centuries they would be plagued by other nations coming in and ruling over them, persecuting them, and then Christ would come. But he wouldn't come for those who were privileged and lifted up. He wouldn't come, and he wasn't interested in the glorious pursuits of the Pharisees and scribes and the religious class who had exalted themselves in the eyes of the nation. No, he was interested in the little things, those who were lowly, those who suffered, those who were sinners and who knew it. Jesus came for the lowly twig. And in that lowly estate, God planted something new. To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Is it like the mighty Roman armies that were coming in and had conquered much of the land, had brought their own language throughout much of the known world? No. It's like a mustard seed. Something that must be let go of. Dropped in the soil, buried. And there it was buried, in the earth. Crucified, dead, and buried. Jesus had been taken from this world. He was no king like the world would ever know. Look at him. He was powerless to overthrow the religious authorities. Powerless to free himself from the Roman ropes that were tied around his hands. Powerless to bring himself down from the cross, if he was the Son of God. In the eyes of the world, he was just a speck, now lost, now buried. But it was there that he was in God's hands. And what couldn't be seen was that God's hands were taking this small, insignificant thing and reaching into death itself. God was bringing his wrath upon all sin that was against the whole world and accomplishing forgiveness. And from that seed, buried in the earth, he would bring forth something new. And when nobody was looking, Jesus rose from the dead and he was alive. And this kingdom sprouted and grew, so that it would become the greatest of all trees, the greatest of all kingdoms, the greatest of all shelters. It would come and branch out over all the world to bring God's grace and mercy and forgiveness to all nations who would believe. And the seeds were sown. The centuries that would follow would prove God's promise to be true. The kingdom would grow. It would reach out from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth, branching out so that now we can see the gospel touching almost every corner of the world. But with that growth would also come weeds, false teaching that would threaten this kingdom. Because the same thing that Israel was up to in 586 BC would also be what churches are going to be led away to even today. A pursuit of glory. A kingdom of glory. Because to hang on to this kingdom of grace seems so insignificant when there's so many bigger and better things that we could be doing. This is where the Church of the Lutheran Confession was sown. In the midst of other Lutheran churches, we were looking for something bigger, something better. The ELCA is an example of one Lutheran church which was looking for something bigger. They boast over 4 million members, 10,000 congregations in the United States. It was back in the 30s and 40s when they were the American Lutheran Church. And they were trying to tell the other Lutheran churches that there's no way we can agree in all doctrines. We have to compromise. As long as it's not on the fundamentals, it's okay to compromise. And they were growing. It was easy to be drawn into this thinking. It was appealing. No need to suffer or face the pains of repentance and humiliation at the cross. But the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. All the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree. In the eyes of the world, the CLC is nothing but a twig. Something broken off of the great and mighty tree, planted, and unlikely to even survive. How many times do you run into someone and you try to tell them you belong to the CLC and they kind of look at you sideways and they say something like, well, is that like the ELCA? We're not on TV, we're not in the news, we're not in Washington, we don't have lobbyists. But here we are gathered, where the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. That is his word visiting us, however small we might seem, because here we have his promise, his hands reaching into the soil where nobody can see it and holding us and blessing us and prospering us where we are hearing his word. Look at how much God has done overseas through our mission work. What began in the 1980s with just one missionary and a few contacts has grown to over millions of believers in Africa and India and Nepal. And not because we're compromising, but because we're teaching the Word of God. And we're valuing things like seminaries and missionaries and ILC. The kingdom of God starts small, but it does great things. And one of those small things is this congregation. This congregation is here as a result of the CLC forming. This little congregation of believers who gather every Sunday for shelter. How many people drive down Wenmouth Road and don't even know we're here? I've talked to a number of people that drive this road very often. They say, oh, you mean the sanctuary? No. No, we're there. We're behind the big tree. Compared to the mega churches that people are familiar with, this congregation seems kind of strange to walk into. Small, different than what they are probably expecting. What are people looking for in a church? Church leaders have been asking this question for decades, trying to figure out what people are looking for. And the model is constantly shifting. Some people are looking for glitz and glamour, a great band and great coffee. Other people are looking for something more mystical, a worship experience where you can feel the presence of God. There are introverts who want to fade into the background, and there are extroverts who are upset if you don't notice them. The model is constantly shifting. It'll be one thing and then another, and so we see also doctrine. One thing and then another. Churches like the ELCA will grow large, but the kingdom of God is not seen with the eyes. It is like a mustard seed. We might not have much to offer compared to the mega churches, but we do have something great, something valuable. When the kingdom of God is sown, it grows larger than any one of us, taller even than that sunflower seed. It reaches out over us, into our lives, sheltering us in the worst of times with the promise of, not of glory, but of God's grace. Not that God's going to take away every suffering, but that he's going to strengthen us in the midst of it. Not that we're going to be perfect, but that God's going to forgive us. for Jesus' sake. This is what branches out over our dinner tables, our workplaces, and wherever we go to share that word of Christ and our faith. Just the other day, I was working in the garden pulling weeds, and I noticed this one weed that looked different than all the other weeds, and it kind of sprouted up quickly. I let it go for a few weeks, and then I noticed it's very similar to the sunflower seeds that I had just planted. And I thought back, oh, that's right, last year I had planted sunflowers in that very spot, and one of the seeds didn't sprout last year, but it sprouted this year. And now it was growing. Don't ever assume just because you're not seeing the great and glorious results right away that God's not at work, that God's not accomplishing what he wants to accomplish, even when our eyes don't see it, or even when it takes a lot more time than we would like to make progress. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdoms of this world. It's the ruling activity of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts. It's faith. And when it grows, faith grows. Something we can't see, but something we believe. So you will be strengthened. And pretty soon you will discover, from little on up to your old age, that that kingdom of God is your shelter, your shade in times of trouble, the most precious thing and the greatest thing that God could ever have done for you in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.